for our city. This is the FC Buffalo Show on 91.3 FM, WBNY. Now, from the WBNY studio, here are your hosts, Ben Tsujimoto and Nick Mandola.
All hail Leicester City.
And West Brom.
And West Bromwich. Bromwich.
Bromwich.
I've learned about W's in England. We'll get into all of that in a minute. I'm Nick Mandola. He's Ben Tsujimoto. He's from the Buffalo News Soccer Blog. I'm from NBC Sports Pro Soccer Talk. I also do some work with FC Buffalo. And it was not going to be the topic of the show. It was not going to be... I mean, we would have talked about Leicester, to be sure. But I don't know about you, Ben, but I didn't think for a moment, given that West Brom has nothing to play for and that Spurs had everything to play for and were at home, that we'd be talking about a draw that concluded 10 minutes ago, and we are now at Leicester City win away. Whether it's this week against Manchester United, I believe Chelsea's still on the menu for them the last week of the season, and there's someone difficult sandwiched
Everton.
In the middle. Everton, yeah. They're going to win the league. We've known this for a while, but there was still math and the fact that it was Leicester going against us, that they're going to win.
At the risk of being a Debbie Downer or a negative Nancy, I was kind of getting tired of talking about Leicester.
Oh, yeah, we won't talk about him the whole day.
So I am glad that this West Brom-Tottenham result happened. And it was a spunky, maybe plucky? I'm not
plucky.
Sure.
Plucky. Plucky's a great word.
A plucky defensive effort from West Brom. And, you know, West Brom is a team of a lot of no-name players. I mean, if you were to go up to the casual EPL fan who probably could name you a handful of players on Arsenal, a handful of players on Liverpool, if you said, hey, name me three guys on West Brom, it'd be a real chore. And honestly, if you asked me a year ago to name three players on West Brom, I probably couldn't do it.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Do you watch the Game of Thrones?
I don't, though I saw
the Games of Thrones
on NBC Sports today
that
there was a Game of Thrones, and is it EPL as a whole?
Yeah, well, partial spoiler alert if you haven't seen the last episode of the last season, but I'm also not going to name characters. There's a character in Game of Thrones who, there's a guy everybody rooted for. His name was Jon Snow.
Was it Daenerys Teagarden?
No, and I don't think that's how they say it.
I just made that up. Yeah.
No, it was close.
What?
And anyways, so this Daenerys is right, but I don't think it's Teagarden. I don't follow it that closely.
I got confused with Amy Teagarden.
It's essentially
Friday Night Lights fans.
It's essentially Lord of the Rings meets Skinamax, but whatever. The point is, they're a very popular character, Jon Snow, and he was done poorly with, we'll put it that way, by a character that no one really cares about. Mm. And to me, that's who Tony Pulis is. Tony Pulis has robbed us of so much joy this season. He actually pulled the draw out of Leicester as well, though. So there's something to be said for that. But yes, the Leicester dream is reality. It's a 7-point advantage with 3 matches to go. Leicester has to win a match, or Spurs have to... A draw won't do it. Spurs would have to lose a match. But it's happening. And the goal differential is now closed down by 9. Not that that's necessarily going to be made up with 3 matches to go, but this is looking certain. And it bears repeating. People keep asking me, what does this mean? Can you tell me how amazing this is? Mm-hmm. Like, what a story. And it's not something, Ben, that as a soccer fan or anyone who would be even mildly considered any sort of quote-unquote expert, and those are heavy quotes I'm throwing out there for you
and
I.
They're heavy. I can see them.
Yes, yeah. they're weighing my arms down, air quotes. They're more like lead quotes. But there's not much expounding we can do because it's that remarkable of a story. It really does transcend comparisons. Mm-hmm. It transcends other sports. This is something I half expect out of nowhere Barack Obama to comment on, you know, or his press secretary to comment on one day, like, by the way, Leicester, huh? Like, this was, it's just remarkable.
This is something I think that we'll even start to appreciate more in hindsight, too, especially as you're looking down recent EPL champions, and the one that's obviously going to jump out at everybody is going to be, who is this Leicester? Who is this Leicester team?
Old Ted Lasso. But it's super interesting, Ben, to consider that there are people coming to the game, coming to the sport, coming to the Premier League, who maybe this is their first year, and they understand why it's important, and they understand why it's different. But that said, If done right, Leicester could become a team that's constantly in the top six discussion. We could literally be, we're either at just one of the best stories in history or one of the best turning points in history, because West Ham will have a lot of money moving into their new stadium. Tottenham are. Manchester United is still obviously a fantastic brand and a fantastic club, and I think they're doing some great things. But as we've seen with Chelsea dropping down the table, anything is possible. And I think this Leicester story benefits the Premier League for a solid 10 years. Like, if Man City and Chelsea split the next 10 titles, there will still be people pointing back and going, yeah, but Leicester.
Yeah, I'll read back the last 10 champions before this year. Chelsea, Manchester City, Manchester United, Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester United, Manchester United, Chelsea.
Yeah, and that's back close to the Invincibles before you get a different team,
and
I would imagine.
And it just keeps going. You know, yeah. There's not another team outside of, since,
Arsenal,
I think you just mentioned Blackburn in 94, 95. Did you do that? Or did I just...
No, I had mentioned, I said the Invincibles and Arsenal.
Oh, no. Which, okay, but yeah. Blackburn is the last, like, what team?
Yeah, and they spent, totally different story, they just decided they were going to buy the best players in the league for a year.
Yeah.
And they're no longer in the league. So no. Just stunning stuff. And we don't need to dwell on it, because at a certain point, what do you say? What do you even begin, you know, to grasp? This is the... something that takes, this isn't winning the FA Cup, you know, this isn't a group stage of a tournament or a full tournament that takes eight games and you get a couple lucky breaks, mm-hmm. And Leicester certainly has gotten their breaks, but this is now 35 weeks and a 7-point gap on a team, amazingly, that we would also be discussing as the story of the season.
Oh, for sure.
Spurs, I was thinking about that earlier. If they were to win this, people would, of course, talk about Leicester blowing it. But they would also be like, wow, London's quote-unquote little brother has arrived, finally, after so many years of throwing it away. So,
and the stat that's been pushed around a lot today is Tottenham, as you have been saying,
sure.
is a full year younger in average age than any EPL team, which is yeah. kind of wild to think about. A team that strong but also that young, it's kind of freakish to think about how good that team could be. I mean, I think they're the Premier League favorites for next year, even if Leicester wins this year.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider. I think we'll see as much turnover, and even turnover between Premier League teams, as we've seen in a long time, mm-hmm. with Pep taking over at Manchester City, he could be taking over the UEFA Champions League winners.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a legitimate shout at this point. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But Arsenal, look, I know Wenger has earned the right to walk out on his own terms, but man, he's got to walk out on his own terms.
I actually saw a great deal of that match.
That was a passing exercise. There was no urgency from those players. It was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was fun to watch. What was most of the game, what would you say? It was played between 10 yards and 40 yards from the Sunderland goal.
Yeah, it was the old Barcelona where you think you're winning the game because you're possessing so much, but your chances are, I mean, it wasn't a particularly exciting game, was it?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, before this season, or even midway through the season, would you have pegged Louis van Gaal to be a more promising looking manager than Arsene Wenger? I mean, the team, not promising, I mean, for next season. I would not want a part, and I say this with a lot of... I have a lot of very good friends who are Arsenal supporters. I mean, they're probably the most supported team in Buffalo, fair to say.
Easily, yeah.
And I wouldn't want any part of that. Now, that said, I would take it compared to the team that I currently support who's in a relegation fight.
I watched them play, though, and they had a pretty spirited comeback against Liverpool, a 2-2 draw.
It's amazing. You get a manager who knows how to assemble a soccer team, and the team gets better.
They're not bitter at all.
Sure. Well, West Ham will be, going down the list a little further, West Ham will probably be in Europe, and they'll buy some reinforcements that will, you know, theoretically strengthen their team under Bilic. Liverpool, up until they threw away that lead at Newcastle, even with some injuries there, they're a very good club under Jurgen Klopp.
You think West Ham will be in Europe? They have work to do if they want to be in Europe.
Yeah, they definitely do. They have to hold off Liverpool. But there is also a scenario.
Well, they're sixth right now, right? I mean, they need.
There's a scenario in which eighth goes to Europe, though, and it's very bizarre. But there is a scenario in which eighth goes to Europe. It has to do with, Man City winning the Champions League, which makes the first four spots of the Premier League going, and then drops another one into the qualifying stage and three or four teams into the Europa League.
Wow.
So seven will almost certainly go.
Oh, okay.
At this point, because Manchester United's in the top five, and I, with all due respect to Crystal Palace, I think they're going to win the FA Cup.
It's interesting that you say that, because I mean, just looking at how the table is usually marked, you know, it's the first four clubs. You wouldn't necessarily think that it's sort of like the NCAA selection committee with basketball. Like, oh, you have a strong league? Well, maybe you'll get seven teams from your conference.
Right.
Like, say you're the ACC or something like that.
Sure.
You know? So that's interesting, and that's something like, I don't know, sometimes I learn stuff on this show too.
Well, you've got, think about it this way. Man City can still win the Champions League, which is an automatic spot in Europe, and Liverpool can automatically win the Europa, could win the Europa League, which is a Champions League slot.
Right.
It's not the Europa League. So, I mean, things could get nutty, so to speak. And I mean, Southampton's a good team, but Chelsea will have their talent plus a new rigid manager who some of those guys won't want to play for in Conte. So we will see a massive amount of turnover. And you kind of look down at the bottom half of the table. Not that we should be talking about transfer season with 3 weeks to go, but Everton, I mean, they're going to get crazy bids for Lukaku.
Yeah.
Because he does not want to be playing in Europe.
At what point do you get rid of Roberto Martinez? I
think he's probably gone.
I like him.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a very insightful guy. I'm not quite sure where, other than getting the performance out of his players that would be required of him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where he slips up. I mean, but he seems
their
like
defense
a bright
guy. Their defense has regressed, I don't want to say to the mean because I haven't, you know, looked into the statistics, but their defense has regressed a great deal. John Stones is a shell of himself, which is funny because he's like 21, so he doesn't look like he did when he was 20. but he's been disappointing.
Phil Jagielka's been injured quite a bit, right, in the last couple of years.
And he just got back in time to not give away a ridiculous PK against Everton. I don't know if you watched that FA Cup game, but I just think there's going to be tremendous turnover. You're going to see three teams come up who, I mean, Burnley is probably going to come up, but they've been up recently. Brighton's going to come up, and they'll have to buy players. And all of these teams are going to have, or Middlesbrough, and all these teams are going to have an incredible amount of money to spend because of the TV deal.
I'm happy that Burnley's coming back up. That was one team that I was sort of upset to see get relegated.
Sean Dyche did a great job.
Yeah, he was the Ginger Mourinho or something like that, right?
What was neat about him, and I don't know that this is possible. I think you need the right dynamic, but Leicester's showing it this year as well. Same 11 pretty much every week from, like, December through March.
Yeah, and doesn't really sub too much unless he absolutely has to.
Right, but there's something about that I kind of, it's not that I admire, I think it's interesting to consider. I mean, if we were all, you think about even playing in a goofy men's league game that we play, you know, like when last year at least, because I'm not playing this year, but in the BDSL second division, somebody subs into the game and it does take an adjustment for a minute. So if we were all in elite shape, I bet teams that sub the least in the BDSL, and they don't have analytics on this, I would imagine the teams that sub the least and obviously are fit probably fare better than their opponents.
In the BDSL's case, it's probably the most committed team.
Also big, you have to care.
Well, no, I mean in the sense that everybody's showing up every week. You know,
how many teams do you think in the BDSL practice?
I'd say maybe a handful.
Yeah, not many, right?
Yeah, and that's like 5 out of 66, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very week to week, but the commitment thing is huge because you don't know what set of your 18 or 19 players will show up every week.
Right.
And that dictates a lot about the game. Well, maybe you're missing two starting defenders. Well, then you have to push maybe a midfielder back, and that changes the shape of your midfield.
Right.
Maybe your forward is like hungover somewhere in West Virginia. You know, like that stuff happens as well.
Are you telling a story? Is that based in reality?
No.
Okay.
Why would it be?
I would expect it to be, to be honest with you. Yeah. I would bet the odds are in the favor of that more than anything else. We have a guest today, and it was a little touch and go because I had another guest lined up and it didn't work out. So this is a little off the cuff, but a very meaningful and an appropriate one. FC Buffalo, of course, has its first game on May 14th against the Rochester River Dogs FC. They are an expansion club, obviously out of Rochester, a local rival, and one of their owners joins us on the line. It's Mark Mandel. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Look, it's important to get a feel for, feel for not just opponents, but an entry in the league. And we've met and spoke a bunch of times now. Tell us why, you know, why the Rochester River Dogs and why now and how it was formed.
Well, originally, this is something that myself and one of our other owners, Mick, was trying to do a couple years back. At the time, we were trying to do it. There was a couple roadblocks in the way. They told us that someone was holding the rights to the territory and whatnot. So it kind of put a clamp on things. But then a couple years later, it kind of resurfaced for us. And after we kind of build up ourselves in Rochester in the soccer community, and we realized that it was open. So we figured now's the time to kind of jump on it. And there's nothing like this in the Rochester area.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, like a lot of guys don't, if it's not there, if they don't have the next level to play at, they tend to jump and go elsewhere. I know a lot of Rochester players have played for FC Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's nothing for them here. Some guys have gone to Florida and played PDL, and there's a lot of high level talent that ends up escaping our area just because there's nothing out here at that next level. So we wanted to bring that to Rochester and give a chance for some of the local guys to, you know, showcase in their own hometown and give the high schoolers and stuff like that something to strive for.
Mark, this is Ben Tsujimoto asking you a question.
Hey, Ben.
Were you met when you created the team with sort of a response that was like, hey, we were really hoping this would happen. I'm glad somebody really stepped forward and filled a void? Because it seems like that's happening as more and more, you know, minor league, amateur soccer leagues and soccer teams continue to blossom, that there's people all of a sudden realize there's a void, and it sort of creates an excitement along with it.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of what happened. Like I said, Rochester's a big, diverse soccer community, and we have so many youth clubs in the area and whatnot. So mostly a lot of the players in the area were happy about it because they have something to go to. It's something that they wanted for years, and just it hasn't been in our area. So they're really embracing it, and we're starting to pick up fans more and more by the day, and we're just going to continue to grow.
Building a team from scratch, it's probably a pretty big challenge in the sense that you have to be good at a lot of different things. You have to be able to market yourself. You have to be, you know, have some kind of an idea with social media. You have to be able to attract sponsors. You have to have good player networks. You know, there's a million different things that go into this that maybe
right.
you weren't aware of. Maybe just but when you were setting out, what were some things that you realized were very difficult, or some things that came easy to you, or something like that along the way?
Well, it's all been a lot in a little bit of time since we got in. So we've had a pretty much strong connection in the area with players, and bringing in head coach Matt Tantalo, he's got a lot of connections with other colleges. So on the player front, it hasn't been too hard. Marketing, we have some marketing tricks that we've done. One being a logo that got everybody talking. another one is just the name with a Z. I mean, just little things, marketing tricks and lures that, you know, people have been talking about all over. Whether it's good or bad, we're getting talked about just because of that. So we love it. We embrace it. And the sponsorships are starting to fall in. We just had our jersey unveiling last week at Dorsal Maserati. They're one of our sponsors. We'd like to thank them. And Bill Gray's with the Tap Room, we'd like to thank them as well. And Batavia Downs right now we have. So we got a couple more in the hopper. We'll be announcing shortly. But everything's starting to come together.
What are we going to see on the field there, Mark? I know you've got a lot of guys from the Rochester area, and you've brought in some intriguing prospects as well. And certainly there's a lot more to announce, but tell the listeners out there a little of what they'll see on the pitch.
Okay. So, we have a very diverse group. A lot of local guys who have played D1 college or D2 in the area. We have some former Rochester Lancer players on our team. We have some former Rhinos on our team, and some internationals that have played at high levels in either Denmark or Spain or Brazil. They're all starting to trickle in. A mix of U.S. national team players under 20. Stefanos Demlokatos played over in Greece, and he was on the U-20 United States national team. We got Nakai DePoint, was a product of Empire Academy, and he also played for the U-17 U.S. national team, and just starting to break into the Canadian market with Tristan Jackman, played for Toronto FC Academy, got in a couple MLS reserve matches, and he was a U-18 Canadian national team. So expect us to be fast, furious, and it'll be a good time.
Mark, I wanted to ask you about Luke Pavone. We're actually doing this show from Buffalo State College, the Buffalo State Station, 91.3 WBNY. So it would only be fitting if I asked about Luke. What I know he's a Rochester native. What do you know about Luke? What do you like about Luke?
Luke is a very dynamic player. He's very pacey. He's pretty good on free kicks. And we can plug him in numerous positions, whether it be in the middle of the field or out wide. Luke's got that. If he stays healthy, it'll be even better for us. And he's playing for his hometown, so he's a little happy that he's coming home to do that as well.
Yeah, he's a terrific kid.
Mark, I got to say, I really like the blue kits. The blue kits were real solid. I was sort of showing it off the other day, so it looks pretty good. I like it.
Thanks. It was something we were kind of looking for. It was something a little classy, a little more professional looking, and the guys look good in them too. So,
well, that's key. That is absolutely key. We're talking with Mark.
I like it.
We're talking with Mark Mandel from the Rochester River Dogs FC. They have their debut. They have their NPSL debut on May 14th at Robert E. Rich All-High Stadium against FC Buffalo. I know you guys had a friendly the other night. Are there any other friendlies on deck? Any other preseason action?
I believe we have one lined up this Saturday. We'll be playing against GCC. The time isn't set yet. We're still trying to work that out, but that's another
At GCC or in Rochester?
At GCC.
Oh, great.
At GCC, right out that way.
I know someone who's been thrown out of a game there.
What was that?
Nothing. I said, I know someone who's been thrown out of a game there, but I was referring to myself.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of that goes on. But, no, we just played against Bonaventure, had a good showing. For only practicing together for the amount of guys that are still here.
Right.
You know, it's hard when guys are still in college and whatnot, but they played very well with only one day of training beforehand. Only had like 13 guys play in the game, so a lot of them went 90 minutes, and we ended up with a pretty good result, a tie, 2-2. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the next one, and I'm looking forward to the match against FC Buffalo.
Yeah, for sure. So.
Mark, I've got to ask you that. What was the reason for the Z in the name? Because I've heard a bunch of different stories about it, but I haven't heard the authoritative one. So I'm interested in what that is.
Well, all I can say is marketing. That's all I can say right now is marketing.
Fair enough.
Really give too much away. One of these days it'll all come to light.
Clearly, for sure. Mark, thank you so much. I know you had a busy evening planned, and we appreciate you filling the gap. We would have had you at some point anyways, but it's great.
I appreciate it.
Three weeks out from the season.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's pretty much showtime. So we'll see Mark Mandel soon. He runs the Rochester River Dogs FC, and you can find them on the Twitter, on the Facebook.
All over the place.
All over the place.
They have a website, too.
That's amazing. All right, Mark, take care.
Thanks a lot, guys.
We should probably take our break as well. And when we get back, there's still much, much to talk about from the world of soccer, and including a little BDSL banter I want to throw out. I'm very interested in a topic. Maybe if you're out there and you're listening as a BDSL fan or player or team, I want to talk about the BDSL ceiling because it's very interesting to me and something I've been thinking about. Our number is 716-878-5104. And we'll be back in a minute here on the Football Club of Buffalo show. What's happening, Captain? It's the Football Club of Buffalo show. I'm Nick Mendola, along with Ben Tsujimoto. Ben, what do you got cooking on soccer.buffalonews.com these days?
Well, we've got a So Dermot McGrain, head coach of Canisius College, he lived in Leicester for 5 years. Mm. And we talked to him and putting a story up either tomorrow or something like that. We'll also have a BDSL Premier Division preview coming up before the weekend. And we'll also have a Western New York Flash preview, hopefully, if I have time.
I saw the Brian, I always say his name wrong. Is it Rademacher?
Rademacher.
Rademacher. Yeah. I saw his, I haven't met him, so, but I saw his preview on the... all the divisions, but the only one I checked out was the Premier Division. I can't believe how much turnover there was in the league this year. It seems, even for a men's league, a men's division, it seems an almost unruly amount of turnover between players.
Yeah, and just to tease what the Brian Rademacher thing was, there's a forum on BDSL.org, and there's a subsection called As the Spheroid Bounces.
That's correct.
And that's the place where you see a lot of banter among people in the league, and that's where you see projections. But yeah, as far as turnover goes, there's always a lot. It's hard to say that there's even more.
Is Sunday opening day?
Sunday is opening day.
Well, I mean, I do want to spare a few moments to talk about it. I was kind of surprised, not in a bad way. I know they're a good team. He has the Sharpshooters winning. Is that a pretty universal feeling?
Yeah, so Sharpshooters and Lazio merged together, and those were two very good teams in their own right.
Sharpshooters very Canisius heavy, right? Or was that Clarence?
That's Clarence. Sharpshooters is a little bit more, I mean, they're guys
who... Lawler brothers. And...
Yes, yeah, that's a team that's been together for a really long time. And as you alluded to earlier, that's one of the things that helps them is just the year after year after year familiarity. Right. And that's not to take away, there's some very talented players on that team. Regan Steele, for example, is, you know, maybe the best amateur player who's not playing for FC Buffalo in the area. Sharpshooters... bringing Drew Braun in. Drew Braun's going to go play at this Buffalo
Fredonia,
State College.
Drew Braun? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's Keith Braun.
Okay. Drew was at Buff State?
Drew went to ECC, is now going to Buff State.
Yeah.
Drew and Keith are brothers. Keith's coming back from a knee injury. But those guys will both solidify the back line.
Mixing up my Brauns.
Yeah. Eric Broadfewer and Brandon Lonkar are also two of the better players in the area. They come over from Lazio.
Come from a terrific high school.
Yeah. That's right. Ken East grads, correct. Yeah. So Sharpshooters are good, but they'll be challenged for sure by BSC Raiders. And as we've talked about a little in the past.
And they've had some turnover too, apparently.
They've had quite a bit of turnover. And in some ways, losing Ian Mort's really going to hurt. Losing Rudy Pikusinski is really going to hurt. And I think
I know Mbwana is injured. And,
yeah, he's
and
not
Shakyara
on the roster
as well.
Yep. But they haven't necessarily gotten too much younger, but they've gotten deeper and grittier, I think. And there's quite a bit of grit on that team in the first place. But that team, as long as they have good attendance, they'll probably outwork you, and they'll probably lead the league in cards right up there with Bus. But they'll be a handful, and right now they're the favorites. If I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag in terms of who my number one team is, but I'll tell you it's not going to be the Sharpshooters.
It's always interesting because – it is about when you restock. There's almost a, and I know we're talking about, we are talking about an amateur league here, but there's an element to what all the banter has been like for the Buffalo Sabres over the past few years that you have to bottom out or you have to pick the right time to retool. Mm-hmm. Because there was a period of time where we would have this conversation, we would just say, well, Celtic will win. I mean, I want to say it was 5 years. Is someone really going to take down Celtic? It was just a loaded team that... ran very much around the Butchers and mixed in some talented players as well. I know they've had a number of FC Buffalo players. It used to seemingly be the destination for our players before.
And it still kind of is, too.
Yeah, before they went to BSC Raiders. I know Andy Teat played there, Jake Reno.
Yep. Well, now they're Soho, but they're it's the formerly Celtic United. Yeah.
Right. Well, they had to do that because there were so many Celtics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there are two Celtics two formerly Celtic-affiliated clubs. It does get confusing because Celtic now, I think, has six teams.
Right.
I think they have one in every single division. But Soho is basically...
I think there's two in the same now. Isn't there two in the same division?
In Premier, there's... Well, okay. No, I guess there's only one in Premier.
There used to be.
Because Soho is the formerly Celtic. So
correct.
Yeah, it does get confusing.
Well, that'll be interesting, and it'll be kind of neat to see the recaps and what we might be able to banter about a little bit on Mondays. We should come up with our own whiner line, you know, where people can call in and record their BDSL banter, and we can play back the answering machine messages.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'd be very excited to play that.
The BDSL, the banter bowels or something like that.
Ugh.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to find something that'd
be
there.
Blitzer bowels.
We don't want that. No. All right. It's a horrible idea. Jeez. Jeez, Derek.
Derek.
Just
I'm a producer,
filthy.
Not a creative person, okay?
Interesting effects. So, Ben.
Yes.
what I did want to ask, just to cap off this BDSL talk, is what's the cap? What is the ceiling? It's a great league. You know, we'd like to see the teams do well in the kind of regional and national tournaments, and that goes without saying. But you made a terrific point before the show when I asked this question, because what's the ceiling in terms of attendance and interest, et cetera? Well, all these teams play at the same time, and that is going to be a consistent issue at getting people to come to your games. Maybe staggered start times can help that, but what is the ceiling? I know that's a broad question.
Yeah, and I would say that I don't think the BDSL cares a lot about people going to see the games.
Right.
At least there will be a couple people, or maybe 15 or 20 people, who just come to support, whether they're
right, and the cup
parents or friends
draws,
or whatever. Yeah, and the cup games and like the finals usually get good draws just because people aren't playing on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the league really cares about individual attendance at games unless they're like events,
you know,
like maybe the Amateur Cup was and the Werner Fricker Open Cup was. But I think the ceiling of the league is 5 14 team divisions. So once it gets up to 70, I think they're going to have to make, do we add another division? Do you expand the rosters? Do you just say, tough luck? You got to be able to be better.
You mean there's a legitimate like U.S. soccer mandated ceiling?
No, okay. There's no U.S. soccer mandated ceiling. But between having enough referees for games, having enough field availability for games, I think I mean, that's only four more teams, but even now you can tell the referees are stretched. You know, it's not like all of a sudden there are 10 more referees ready and eager to start refereeing
games at
6 o'clock on a Sunday night.
That would almost make staggered start times a necessity. You'd almost have to start going 2-4-6 at similar venues and something along those
lines. It's already 2-4-6 at Nichols.
But is it?
Most other places are 4-6. For instance, Grand Island is Rampart FC's home field. And
of course it is.
Yeah, but it's
Champions
also...
Champions are built there.
But it's also shared by Queenston FC and Crimson Fire FC. So we're in the same complex, but Crimson Fire and Queenston share the same field.
CFFC,
it is. It really
Crimson
is.
Crimson Fire FC.
Yeah.
They could really do some neat things with their logo.
Mm.
I hope they have. Is it a good? Do they have a good logo?
I have no idea.
I need to catch up on my BDSL talk. I really need to get into the flow. It's funny, and this is, I think, the challenge. I care very deeply about soccer in the area, and I certainly pay attention to what's going on, but I'm not playing this year.
Mm.
And so there's, not that I played a ton last year, because FC Buffalo games are on Sunday, and I thought hopefully I could get there. But how are people going to continue to pay attention once they step away from the game? You know, will it still be a badge of honor? You know, I played for this team. I'm going to continue to root for this team, et cetera. Because I'd love to see that develop. When we read these stories about, you know, Scott Hollander posts them a lot. I don't know if you know him from the UB Library. And we've had a lot of conversations a couple of years back when I was researching University of Buffalo American football. And, you know, when those teams... You know, I think of the Brooklyn Italians in our league. They've been around forever, not necessarily in the NPSL, but they've been everywhere. And I want to say that the teams that have taken to Twitter and social media and tried to build up their brand, so to speak, are trying to start things like that. I think you think of that goal, that 30 years from now, there's still a men's league team and you're not in it. And, you know, maybe your kid is in it, but... I like the idea of that, and I very much hope that comes to pass in Buffalo.
There are some BDSL rivalries already, you know. I mean, you have Yemen Elite and FC Yemen. That'll be a good one this year in Premier.
There will be Yemen teams in the BDSL for as long as there is the BDSL.
Yep. This is the first time, I believe, that there's a third Yemen team.
Yeah.
So there's Yemen Elite, FC Yemen, and then FC Yemen 2. So
Roman numerals.
2, yeah, II.
II.
Yeah.
FCM and II.
But it's cool to see that expanding. And, I mean, credit to Ferris.
This is a great job.
Ferris Saleh and Taha Omar, guys who are, you know, really at the forefront of that community and really do a lot for the players in order to feel the team and have the team organized and have the team very focused,
right.
I would say. So, no, and it's a good point because it's a very diverse league. You have the Buffalo Gunners, who there's a lot of Middle Eastern players on that team. There's Buffalo Bantu, which has a lot of, you know, West African players on the team. And sprinkled throughout the teams, it's not just a lot of 25-year-old guys from Amherst or Orchard Park. You know, there's a good variety on the west side. You have the whole Yemeni community that's involved to some extent from, like, a soccer-playing standpoint. So it's cool to see that all these people coming together and just playing on one field.
Yeah, I'm very, very interested in that. I wanted to toss this out here as well. I sent you five talking points, and this is one of the ones you did not put in your hierarchy. But I want to bring it up because I think it's really interesting.
It's also at 4:48. So,
the UEFA Champions League, we get our semifinals tomorrow and Wednesday, the first legs of which. And unfortunately, we were not given Pep Guardiola against his new team, which would have been Bayern against Manchester City. But we did get some interesting things. And I want to talk about the Champions League through the underdog of the group, and that's arguably Manchester City. Here is a team that has stumbled domestically, and many would say it's because they announced that they were going to hire Pep Guardiola. Now you have him leading the club further than it's ever been into the semifinals of the UEFA Champions League, and really doing a fantastic job going up against a team that fired him after 1 year. And I just, there are so many storylines at play, and they won't really play themselves out, or they won't be ripe for the talking about until after we find out what happens with City in this tournament. But Real Madrid has won a Champions League in the last 15 years, and they've basically done it while rifling through managers, you know, like like looking for apples at the grocery store. I don't like this one. This one's like, might bite this one.
I'm a big Macaun guy.
Are you a Macaun? Yeah, that's, I was always a Golden Delicious guy. Huh. I liked the Golden Delicious. A little sour. I think it's one of the more sour apples.
You're not a Granny Smith, though?
I'm okay with the Granny
that's
Smith.
That's tart. That's real tart.
It's tart is an excellent way of putting it.
Thank you. I do my apple research.
You get an MD in your apple loving degree.
That rhymed. You're pretty impressed with yourself right now.
Really working on myself to get back on the track, because we could talk about apples forever.
Oh, yeah.
Manuel Pellegrini had a fantastic quote about Real Madrid when he was fired. And what he said was a real criticism that I believe has come true, even though they've won a title since then. And what he said was the way they run it there with their Galactico policy is they give you 10 guitarists, or they give you 11 guitarists and no piano player. Mm. And so that has always kind of reverberated. And to now see a City team that, to think about them compared with another team and them being the gritty one of the bunch, is kind of hilarious.
There are not really too many guitarists there. There's a few guitarists.
Yeah, I'd say Aguero is a guitarist.
Yeah,
Kevin De Bruyne.
Silva's a
De Bruyne.
Guitarist. De Bruyne
is a guitarist. Touré is a guitarist who is offbeat most of the time, but sometimes rips into an incredible solo.
Yeah, that's true, but he has like strings break all the time.
Right.
No, maybe that's Company, sorry.
Right. No, that's, I think you
bad injury joke.
Jesus Navas is the bass player who...
He's the flute.
Yeah, kind of loses his way a bit, the Yaz flute. So I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, because we saw Real Madrid struggle for a leg with Wolfsburg. we should just run with that.
You just wanted to say Wolfsburg.
I did want to run with Wolfsburg. No, we saw them struggle with Wolfsburg, and obviously they dominated them in the second leg, and they have that. They played Rayo Vallecano this weekend. Mm-hmm. Vallecano was up 2-0. Rayo, I believe, is how you shorten it. But they were up 2-0, and Real Madrid came back and won. And they're capable of doing that at any time. That's what makes them so dangerous.
Without Chris Ronaldo, too, right?
Without him, yeah, resting him. Gareth Bale was dynamite in that game. I actually think he was a little injured.
Well, Ronaldo's hurt, yeah.
Right.
Is he at all in doubt for the match?
I haven't read anything to
indicate that. I don't
think
so.
I don't think he would miss that.
I've seen Yaya Toure is going to be missing that.
Yeah,
though,
yeah, he'll be out.
Kind of interesting, because maybe City is better without him.
I think I wouldn't. City might be the lone team that I wouldn't bet on. I wouldn't put any money on to win. And at the same time, I think it would be a remarkable story. And we're still all... The question I'm getting to is this. Is there any point, Ben, that you will imagine when you will think of Manchester City and you won't think of them as the new money club that spent a lot? Like 20 years from now, how much of that will stay with them? Will linger and stay attached to them?
They've really become the New York Yankees of the EPL in terms of somebody who could just buy whatever. So
right,
I mean,
but now everyone does that. But
right.
Because they did that first, right?
Yeah, but
that's
but
what I'm wondering.
I
does that stick with them for a long time?
I wouldn't even say that everybody necessarily does that still.
Manchester United does.
Yeah.
Chelsea does.
Arsenal does.
Arsenal does. Liverpool does. Spurs even did, although they had to sell Gareth Bale to do it. Real Madrid, I mean, they always did it too. I guess we should stick in England for the purposes of this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
you could argue that everybody does what they do and they just did it first.
So are you holding that against them? Because
I'm not,
we're just saying it's naturally how we'd think of them.
That's what I'm curious about is will they have that reputation for a long, long time? Because you could argue that they forced other teams to start doing that, and Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, Manchester United has had to spend a boatload of money to keep up with the neighbors. They really have. Mm-hmm. Luke Shaw, Morgan Schneiderlin. Not that these are all high, high, high-priced guys. Shaw,
well, Martial,
was.
They spent a ton of money on, too.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was almost like
Martial.
We have to get a guy before they do. I will give you my quick pronunciation story right now.
Ooh.
A friend of mine in town... hello, Jed, if you're listening, I doubt you are.
Did he say Leicester?
No, but he runs a bed and breakfast in Keswick, which is spelled K-E-S-W-I-C-K. Keswick.
Ugh, yeah.
Keswick is...
like Bromwich.
Exactly. I found this out because I mispronounced, we were talking about the relegation picture, and Keswick is in England. It's 2 hours south of Glasgow. And I had said something. He asked me the fixtures. We're sitting around a campfire. Who's Sunderland play?
Did he say fixtures too?
Of course he did. He's
English.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. He's a wonderful.
Nobody's ever said fixtures to me.
Yeah. Well,
what are the fixtures today?
I will say it to you before the end of the show. Sunderland, Newcastle, and then I said Norwich. And he said, no, Norwich. And we started talking, and Wes Bromwich came up, and he's from Keswick, came up.
Yep.
And I realized that they do not believe in double. The rest of the world really struggles with pronunciation of the W. We've got Wolfsburg as well. No, but I just wanted to put that out there. A little bit of knowledge for our fans who talk about those games. Apparently, the W, often silent when in the middle of a word in England.
Mind is blown, Nick.
Your mind is blown.
Yep.
I did my best, Ben. All right. So one more Premier League note, as long as we're running through all the things I wanted to talk about. Arsenal fans, right?
Mm.
Top four team every year for the last 14 years or 15 years. That is in danger now. Would you take for your team right now that sort of consistency, knowing that you'll never be in a relegation fight, but also knowing, and granted, Wenger for a while was, there's another one, Wenger.
Wenger.
That's a
yep.
W.
Yep. is it West Ham United? Just kidding.
That's right. That is. I think it's absurd. The
Otford,
the Wolverhampton Wanderers,
Newcastle.
Clearly, no. I mean, that must be an EW thing.
I do like Sansi though. I like that idea.
Swansea would often work. Would you take a team?
Sorry, I threw you off.
In the top four, you're going to go to the Champions League. You might win it every now and again. And like I said, Wenger has been put aside by the fact that they were balancing the books for a while there. People don't realize that for a good period of time, Arsenal wasn't buying by mandate. They were getting themselves in order. They were paying off their stadium renovation, all that. I just, as someone who has a team that they support more or less in a relegation fight, I hate the idea of starting a season and thinking, we probably won't push harder than anyone else for a title. You know, we would we'll accept finishing fourth. And so I think I want the team that gambles a little bit more than that. Or a manager who gambles a little bit more than
but
that.
But Arsenal never really looks at it that way, do they? I mean,
I don't think so.
I think at the dawn of every season, Arsenal thinks they're going to win
right.
the title. And that's the only way they can do it. But does that kind of expectation and standard that fans have every year make it even more miserable when you finish fourth, which would be a great finish for everyone else? Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, that's probably why fans aren't necessarily as drawn to those big clubs anymore, because there's a lot more frustration because only one team can win the league.
Right.
And all the other ones are either looked at as like, oh, you're not in Europe. So like Chelsea, imagine if you're a Chelsea fan this year, you know, like, that has to be the worst of the worst.
Right.
Not only are you not competing for Europe, but you're just competing to stay inside the top 10 teams. And you've been a laughingstock since, what, November?
Right, and there's almost you've seen a drop-off in, I don't want to say relevancy, but at least for a season, they're in a game, and what I would start to notice is, and again, I work for NBC, full disclosure if you're just tuning in,
you
but
do.
Start noticing what games are on NBCSN and USA of the 10 a.m. starts on Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
because that is dictated by now every game is available to you if you live in America. Just, you know, you got to go online to the Live Extra app, Ben. But start noticing who's on NBC, who's on USA, who gets moved to a 12:30 start, who is on Sundays.
I was going to say, the Sunday matches usually indicate to me what the preferred games are.
Sure, there's a certain... Now, on the other hand, there is a little bit of balance there because those Sunday games are often given to teams that are in the Europa League or playing on a Wednesday in the Champions League.
Day of rest.
But at this point in the season, that is not necessarily the case. And I just think Arsenal would know this, right? And if Wenger is around next year, and I understand the thought that you will allow him to play it out, that he's earned that. Yeah. But if he's around next year, you better believe he better get the green light to spend money.
Yeah.
Or the board's going to have to say, we told him he could spend and he didn't.
Does Wenger seem to you a little bit like Lindy Ruff, that kind of situation where maybe there's a lost appreciation for what he's accomplished? And I'm not saying Lindy Ruff accomplished a ton with the Sabres.
I think
but,
he did.
But yeah. He had some very, very good teams. And he's probably one of the best coaches in that entire organization's history.
Yeah.
But when it was nearing the end, and granted, he was lumped in with Darcy for most of it, so maybe that was unfortunate for Ruff. But it's easy to see these kind of coaches, whether it be Wenger or Ruff, as a what have you done for me lately kind of thing, and to lose sight of their value. And like Tom Coughlin is another perfect example to go to another sport, a guy who's won Super Bowls, but you know, seems like he's vilified every single year that the team doesn't do well. And that's the case with Wenger. It was the case with Ruff. It was the case now.
I get that to a certain extent. I think what separates Wenger here is we're all sitting here in January, and the January before, where he so badly needed defensive cover. Mm-hmm. And there was another position they really needed, and he kind of bought, what was the Swedish guy he bought at the very last minute? Mm. I'm going to say, it's not going to be the right, Kim Karlstrom or something like that. And he didn't fill that gap, and he came out and said, well, the price was too high. Okay. I don't totally buy that because the price is where it is for a reason. People know the January market is slim.
Yeah.
And you kind of let that slide. Then he only buys Petrček this year. And
which was a position in
need. It was a brilliant. I mean, I think he's honestly been, he's definitely top three season.
And do you think
De Gea has been out of this world? Yeah. But you get to January and he buys Elneny from the Egyptian national team. I forget where he was. Was he at Basel maybe? But everyone's screaming, you need a forward. And there's a certain crowd that is going to back Wenger no matter what they're saying. But we've got Giroud and he's pretty good and he's underrated. And in a lot of cases, that's true. He's a good player.
Yeah.
But if this is a team that had Martial.
But they bought Danny Welbeck. Wasn't Danny Welbeck supposed
Welbeck
to be that
was
guy too?
Was 2 years ago, yeah, and he was injured. But he was injured and he wasn't necessarily going to be back to reinforce for a title or a European push. And they were in the knockout rounds again.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there's a little bit of a danger in equating the Champions League because you can't buy a player who's capped or tied to a club and then bring him into the tournament. But I think he has missed the boat a couple of times on improvement. Or, you know, Manchester City had Aguero, and obviously we know he's pure class, but they weren't afraid to bring in Wilfried Bony. They weren't afraid to bring money in. Chelsea had, they didn't have Costa when they bought Loic Remy, but that you'll bring in a player and not worry about. You'll figure it out once you have the ingredients, right?
But in a lot of cases, that player doesn't make a big difference. You know, like, quote-unquote, rental players or players that you get in the middle of the season, you can't just expect a striker in a lot of cases to be like, oh, yeah, he'll fit in just fine. He'll connect with our midfielders. He'll be on the same page. He'll work well with Giroud up top. You know, and maybe Arsenal would rather play a 4-5-1. They have so many midfielders to do it that they can get away with it.
Sure, but here's a stat I'll give you, and I had this locked in the chamber, so I'm not trying to just...
Oh, you set me up for something.
No, I didn't mean to set you up.
Cunning. That's very Wolfsburgian of you.
So, Kyle Bond works with us at NBC Sports Soccer. He's the_bonfire, Bond with two N's.
I'm more of an Andy Edwards guy, but yeah.
Yeah. And Kyle made a post on Sunday. He was on shift, and he basically went with the claim of, I'd really like to talk about what's going on with Arsenal. And why, what's disappointing about them and how they missed their chance. It was titled Arsenal and the Rut of Consistency.
Ooh.
And I read it, and Kyle did a great job with it, but the stat in it that I thought was so fantastic was expected goals. Are you familiar with the XG stat?
Mm.
It's where you get the ball, when you should put it in, the chances that you've created. It's
soccer saber metrics?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh.
The expected goals simulated EPL table, meaning if every team cashed in their surefire chances and chances that should turn into goals at the average rate of the league, Arsenal would be in first. and they're not. And Mesut Ozil somehow left out of the team of the year, despite the fact that he was on pace to set the record for assists. Yeah. And we've seen that team just bungle glorious chances within 8 yards of the goal. So the expected goals simulated table, to show you how generally true these things work out, this is your top 10, okay? Arsenal, Spurs, Man City, Leicester, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, Saints, Everton, West Ham. So these are all teams that you would then look at. And not that this is the only and the end-all be-all stat, Ben, but you would say, wow, Everton and Chelsea have been either unlucky or underachieved. And you would say the same thing for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Whereas Leicester, it's almost a justification. It's almost a, look, even if you think they got lucky, they're still playing at a top four pace.
But they kind of did get lucky.
Oh, for sure. That's how you get to one. So you can either say that Arsenal got unlucky and Jack Wheelchair. I almost went with the
Wheelchair.
Well, that's what. Do you follow USA Soccer guy?
No, I don't.
He purposely misspells names, and it's a British guy who is trying to be an American soccer fan and say things like, "We really soccered that up." And but yeah, he calls him Jack Wheelchair. But the bottom three are Aston Villa, Sunderland, West Brom. You know, after that, it's Newcastle, Norwich.
Norwich.
So, you know, to me, that says an awful lot. Arsenal has not just one, but two incredible playmakers. I mean, Alexis Sanchez is a wonderful player. Mm-hmm. And they're still, for a couple years, I guess it's forgivable for 1 year to think maybe Theo Walcott will figure it out and become a scoring option.
Same thing with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Right. Maybe they'll figure it out.
I think they got unlucky with Sandy Cazorla this year because he was playing really, really well.
That's a terrific point. I love him as a player. He's one of those, what we'd call in hockey, a glue guy. Mm. But flashy. You know, you think of glue guys and you think of muckers.
I feel like you're underserving him by calling him a glue guy.
No, but I think he, what was it? He brings a meal together. He's like sweet potatoes, right? You're having a meal and you like your entree and you like that third dish, but there's sweet potatoes as the second, which really is a borderline entree.
But
that's,
it's got
good
some
sweet
flair
potato
to it too. Sweet potatoes, right, of the sides definitely brings flair.
It's the best of the potatoes, I would say.
Ooh, red potatoes?
Some
salt good
potatoes.
Red potatoes,
yeah,
with crispy edges.
It's got to be the salt potato.
Oh,
but
man, good skin.
But a sweet
Stop,
potato,
Nick, I haven't eaten yet.
Very healthy. You can throw marshmallows and cinnamon on there. Now, I know that's adding food in. Brown sugar, not cinnamon, is what I meant. Mm. I think
cinnamon
I want.
Might work, though.
I still think I want to call sweet potato the potato MVP.
Well, we might have to disagree on that.
So you're thinking red potatoes. There's no doubt in your mind.
Oh, I red potatoes are terrific. Put some butter and salt.
I didn't
salt.
Say they're not terrific.
They're a lot easier to prepare. You literally just cut them up, you throw them in a bowl, and you put them in the microwave.
Mm. So they're set it and forget it. They don't take as much effort.
No, but because
the sweet potato takes a while.
But the reward is just as great, if not greater.
It's very good. Let's agree this. Someone might throw their radio or drive off the road here.
Hope not.
Mashed potatoes are pretty overrated, I would say.
Are they even overrated, or are they just low?
When people start to talk about Thanksgiving and meals like that, mashed potatoes come up a good deal. And I think you're a mashed potatoes guy. Derek Kramer.
Whoa, I did not say that.
Someone said that.
Somebody else said mashed potatoes.
Yes, it's my trainee.
mashed potatoes all the way.
All right. I've got a breaking news to kind of end the show, which is exciting. And one of the cool things is I do a lot of the social media along with some of my coworkers for NBC Sports Soccer. So, you know, you get that alert when something's been retweeted and it'll be like, you know, BN Soccer retweeted your, and I'll be like, oh, cool, that happens to FC Buffalo. But NBC, you get the weirdest things. And because they tell you when someone with a higher number of followers retweets, you always get weird things. And I just found out that Jamie Vardy has been handed an extra game suspension. And I don't think anyone listening would guess who retweeted it to make sure that popped up on my feed. Golf legend Gary Player has informed me. But Jamie Vardy will miss the Manchester United game. I don't think after Sunday anyone's really thinking, oh, that'll really hurt them.
Gary Player, big Leicester fan, do you think?
I think it's possible. I think he's South African, Gary Player.
Is he?
Is that true? That doesn't mean he doesn't love Leicester.
That's true, but for some reason I thought he was an Englishman.
Leicester was a decent... that's the other thing that's interesting is Leicester was a decent team. They have been
very good South African professional golfer. Man,
listen,
Nick.
I know my golfers who are, if not in there, encroaching on their 80s.
But he does live in Jupiter, Florida, which is the same place as Ryan Arvin grew up.
Really?
Yep.
St. Bonaventure, Bonnie's assistant coach.
Former Canisius College goalkeeper.
At what point, and current Erie Commodores goalkeeper.
Mm.
Here's another question based on the Man City one. At what point, Ben, would you refer to Ryan Arvin as, through his coaching career?
Oh.
No. Through his coaching career rather than a former Canisius player. At what point is he?
I think he's got to be a head coach in order to start referring to him as a coach rather than as a player.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a coachist.
I don't think so. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Well, you know what's perfectly reasonable?
Us ending the show
on time.
Yes.
For once in our lives.
Producer Derek won't give us dirty looks as we leave this time, hopefully.
Well, I am off to a supermarket to buy some sweet potatoes.
Oh.
Actually, first I'll go to the gym, and then I will wait an hour. That's the bad part of sweet potato. You got to wait an hour for that sucker to cook and get soft in the middle.
You're not actually going to do that tonight.
No, but I will buy sweet potatoes next time I go to the store.
Terrific.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I probably won't. They take too long to prepare.
Ben, the salt potato Sugimoto.
Red potatoes. Great skin.
Great skin. Great skin. Let's get out of here.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.